The woman pushed herself up slowly, though the blow she had taken would have crushed half her bones if she'd been mortal. It didn't seem to have weakened her, as she stayed on one knee while glaring at the man.
"You can't stay here," he said,
calmer now, though still visibly furious.
"You're not careful enough. By threatening this mortal's life, you've already broken the most important rule."
The woman's lip curled in a sneer.
"Your rule?"
"The rule agreed upon by all of us who chose to dwell here. None of us wants another interdiction. You were warned."
He held up a hand, and suddenly the street was full of godlings. Everywhere I looked, I could see them. Most looked human, but a few had either shed their mortal guises or had never bothered in the first place. I caught glimpses of skin like metal, hair like wood, legs with animal joints, tentacle fingers. There must have been 2, maybe 3 dozen of them standing in the street or sitting on the curbs. One even flitted overhead on gossamer insect wings. The porcelain-faced woman got to her feet, though she still looked shaky. She looked around at the assemblage of godlings, and there was no mistaking the unease on her face. But she straightened and scowled, pushing her shoulders back.
"So this is how you fight your duels?"
This was directed at the man.
"The duel is over," the man said.
He stepped back, closer to me, and then, to my surprise, bent to help me up. I blinked at him in confusion, then frowned as he moved in front of me, blocking my view of the woman. I tried to lean around him to keep an eye on her, since I had a notion she'd almost killed me a moment before. But the man moved with me.
"No," he said. "You don't need to see this."
"What?" I asked. There was a sound like the tolling of a great bell behind him, followed by a sudden swift concussion of air. Then all the godlings around us vanished. When I craned my head around the man this time, I saw only an empty street.
"You killed her,"
I whispered, shocked.
"No, of course not. We opened a door, that's all. Sent her back to our realm. That's what I didn't want you to see."
To my surprise, the man smiled, and I was momentarily caught by how human this made him look.
"We try not to kill each other. That tends to upset our parents."
Before I could stop myself, I laughed, then realized I was laughing with a god and fell silent, which confused me more, so I just stared up at his strangely comforting smile.
"Everything all right, Ayo?"
The man didn't turn from me as he raised his voice to speak. I suddenly remembered the green woman. When I looked at her, I started again. The green woman, Ayo, apparently, was smiling at me as fondly as a new mother. Her coloring had changed, too, from green to a soft pale pink. Even her hair was pink. As I stared at her, she inclined her head to me and again to the man, then turned and walked away. I gaped after her for a moment, then shook my head.
"I suppose I owe you my life," I said, turning back to the man. "Since it was in danger partly because of me, let's just call it even," he said.
And there was a faint ringing in the air, as of wind chimes, though there was no wind. I looked around, confused.
"But I wouldn't mind buying you a drink, if you're feeling the need to celebrate life."
That startled me into another laugh as I finally realized what he was up to.
"Do you try to pick up all the mortal girls you almost kill?" "Just the ones who don't scream and run," he said.
And then he startled me further by touching my face, just under one eye. I tensed just a little, as I always did when someone noticed my eyes, bracing myself for the if only. But there was no revulsion in his gaze, and nothing but fascination in his touch.
"And the ones with pretty eyes," he added.
You can imagine the rest, can't you? That smile, the strength of his presence, his calm acceptance of my strangeness, the fact that he was stranger still. I barely stood a chance. 2 days after we met, I kissed him. He took the opportunity to pour a taste of himself into my mouth, the wretch, trying to lure me into bed. It didn't work then. I had some principles,
But a few days later, I went home with him. Naked before matting, I felt for the first time that someone saw the whole of me, not just my parts. He found my eyes fascinating, but he also waxed eloquent about my elbows. He liked it all. I miss him. Gods, how I miss him.
I slept late the next day and woke up in agony. My back hurt all over, and because I was not used to sleeping on my belly, my neck was stiff. Between that, my sore and puffy eyes, and the headache that had returned with a vengeance, I could perhaps be forgiven for not realizing at first that there was someone new in the house. I stumbled blearily into the kitchen, drawn by the smells and sounds of cooking breakfast. "Good morning," I mumbled. "Good morning," said a cheery woman's voice, and I nearly fell. I caught myself against a counter, spun, and grabbed for the block of kitchen knives. Hands caught mine and I cried out, immediately struggling, but the hands were warm, big, familiar. Shiny, thank the gods. I stopped trying to reach for a weapon, though my heart was still racing. Shiny and a woman. Who? Then I recalled her greeting, that raspy, too sweet voice. Lil was in my home, making me breakfast after eating some order keepers that Shiny had murdered. "What in the maelstrom are you doing here?" I demanded. "And show yourself, damn it. Don't hide from me in my own home." She sounded amused. "I didn't think you liked my looks." "I don't, but I'd rather know you're not standing there slavering at me." "You won't know that even if you see me." But she appeared, facing me in her deceptively normal form. Or maybe the other shape, the mouth, was normal for her. And this was only a courtesy that she offered me. Either way, I was grateful.